Hello, happy site owners, and welcome to the Blog A Site Success Interview Series. Today, my guest is craft and lifestyle blogger Jill Flory, who owns the site So A Fine Seam. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to work with you, Mayanna.
I'm just delighted for you to share your story here. So let's start with a little more about you and your site.
Well, I blog at Sew a Fine Seam, and I share tips about sewing. I share craft ideas. I share about furniture and how I paint it and fix it up. And the other side of my business is a wholesale line of pillows that are location specific to certain areas with the latitude and longitude on the pillows, and also pillows that have the shape of the state with a heart over a certain location. And I sell those to several boutique shops across the United States, and I retail them in a couple of shops close to me.
I do pop-up shops. Yeah. It's so fun.
I do pop-up shop events, and I have one of those coming up the end of July, and I sell my handmade items and vintage finds. And I recently started taking my designs from my pillows and putting them on T-shirts, and I'm going to start doing a line of wooden signs using reclaimed wood and taking the same ideas and some other ideas that I have that I haven't showed on the blog yet that will be showing up on some of those signs.
Wow, that's fun. So, I mean, you're just expanding on your creativity and going into other mediums with it.
I am, and it is fun. And my husband is helping me out with the signs, and he's getting more and more involved in the business, even though he likes to say he's really not. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you just let him keep saying that, right?
That's right.
Well, I want to tell everybody that Jill was a site audit client of mine, and she's agreed to share her experience of what that was like to go through the audit and then all the fixes for the site, too. You ready for that, Jill?
Yes.
I know sharing this is going to help so many people because they have sites like yours. And so this will give them some idea what's going on with it. What prompted you to get an audit in the first place?
Well, the first thing was I knew I needed help with SEO, and I also wanted to get the date out of my URLs. And that led me to Mayanna through a blog friend. And from talking back and forth with Mayanna, I realized that what I really needed to start with was a site audit. And she was willing to do that, and she worked with me through my ignorance in blog coding and everything, and cleaned things up great.
Yeah, did you know that your site had most of the issues that were found?
I knew that I really didn't have a clue about how good or bad most of my plugins were. I just had used plugins that other people recommended or that I liked what they did. Finding out what was taking so much time loading or, you know, was not secure was, it was a little bit of a surprise, some of it, but in a way, I really, when I thought about it, it wasn't a surprise because I don't have a clue. I'm just the creative, and I've tried to do as much of my own blog as I can just because when I started it, it was just a hobby, and I didn't have any money to put into it.
I think a lot of people go through that. You know, they don't know if something's going to take off. They just want to give it a try. So they start a site and not knowing what they're doing, not wanting to put a lot of money into it, figure it out the best they can. And then once they see a business model in it, that's the time to start investing, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that could cost you a lot on the back end depending on how you go into it on the front end, right?
Right. It's a good idea to just go ahead and try to find the room in your budget as early as possible. Once your blog becomes part of your business, and if you want to make money, however you're going to make money through your blog, if it's with ads on your blog, if it's just because the blog is a part of your business and it gets your brand out there, you just really need to have it secure, and you need to have someone on board that knows what they're doing.
And once it is that way, and once you're educated about it, then you can DIY it yourself from there. You're not going to get it back into a mess because you're more educated about it too.
Right.
Yeah, that's really huge, is learning more about it. So let's talk about plugins because everybody is, wanting to know what kind of plugins are good and what to use. And I think what we found out, like you said, you just put in there what everybody told you to do, what was good. But what you found out was it's about a combo of plugins. It's not, they're not in isolation, and they weren't taking your performance needs into
Right.
consideration with those things too, right?
Right. I think, well, one of them that I had been using was Comment Love, and everybody just thought that was so cool. And it's been probably 2 or 3 years since I first installed that. It was just fun to be able to have that when you commented on someone's blog, that your most recent blog post or whichever blog post you picked showed up with your comment. But honestly, it really didn't drive traffic.
And if it does, it
And,
drives spams, doesn't it? Spammers.
well, that's what I found out from you. I didn't, there's no way for us to know that unless we have someone on board that knows that kind of stuff to inform us. I was fine with letting it go.
For a lot of folks, it wasn't as bad with yours, but it would have been. There are lists out there that say these are the blogs that give you the perk for getting a backlink.
Right.
And if you ever get on that list, oh, bless your heart, it's going to be a while before you come off of it, and the spammers are going to hit you really, 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 really hard. So if it's not driving traffic for you, then that's a hit you don't need to risk taking.
Right.
Well, and there were some plug-in conflicts and hogs in there too, right?
Right, there were because in the beginning I followed an online tutorial on how to set up my blog, and I had plugins in there that I honestly had no idea why I put them in. I couldn't even remember doing them because it was so long ago, and it was just something I probably read somewhere, and they said you needed this, so I installed it. It wasn't affecting anything I was doing, and so I forgot about it. But not being able to know what's going on the back end, I have no idea what that's really doing to me and how it might be hurting me.
And so you do now. That's the main thing. Just getting all the plugins squared away was a big deal, and you get out all
Right,
the
and I would
conflict.
recommend that if you like for me, if I have a plugin for some reason that I want, I'm going to come ask you first if it's something I should even consider.
Right, that's why, following people like me that are going to vet things and look at not only the function, because sometimes it's worth taking a hit. If it's a function that you need, like recipes, that's a good
Right.
one in this niche. All of those are going to be performance hog, all of them. But
Right.
if you're in this niche, you got to take that hit,
Right.
to get that nice style and formatting. So sometimes it's worth it. But you need to know that, and of all the ones out there, which is the least hit? And then weigh that
Exactly.
against maybe the function and the looks of it, because looks matter on this.
Right.
And speaking of, let's talk about images, because in this niche, that's a huge thing, right?
Yes, it is.
And so you have multiple per post, and so that really starts piling up on performance and on resources for the size of your site, too.
Right. I have tried to learn in the past year, definitely, how best to size my pictures as they're coming out of Lightroom. I think in the beginning, I thought they needed to be bigger than they did, just because, if you're going to upload the picture to a printer and print it, you want it to be as crisp and clear as possible. But when you're just using them online, they don't need to be near that big a file because they look fine. And from what I mean, everybody's a little bit different on how they view that. I try to go as small as I can and still, sometimes I try to upload them and it, or I try when I try to export them from Lightroom, it'll tell me it can't do it as small as I wanted to do it for some reason. And I'm not sure if that's a Lightroom glitch or if it's just something I'm doing wrong.
Let's clarify what size is. here. We're not talking about the display size. We're talking about the file size, correct?
Right. I'm trying to think when I export from Lightroom.
And while you're thinking about that, I wanted to say that Lightroom is really good for folks who are taking pictures with their own cameras
Right.
as
It's
well.
yeah. I
Yeah.
really like it. Let me pull my export thing up here
Okay. And
real quick and I'll
and
show
while you're
you.
doing that, I'll tell folks, there's lossy compression and lossless compression. You'll read some things that tell you never do lossless because it rips out the metadata from the image itself. Only photographers really need that metadata most of the time, and you can really pull down your file size like crazy by taking that metadata out. And all the tags you need for it in the website and whatever, those are meta description tags and things like that. That's a whole different sort of thing. So you want to use lossy compression to get rid of all of that and make your file sizes as small as you can. You can even take the quality down to like 65%, and it's still going to look just as good when you're saving as a JPEG, for those images. So be sure that you play with all of those settings and take it as far down as you can, and it still look good to you.
Right. Lightroom, I have an option under file settings, and I limit the file size, and I have it at 800K right now.
Right, and depending
And
on the image, that may not work. So you may not
right.
be able to be arbitrary with that to just, but you want it.
Sometimes I have to tell it, and then I have on my resolution. I have it at 150 pixels per inch right now. I think you can go smaller than that. I may have been doing. I put it up to 300 when it's something I'm exporting that I'm going to print instead of putting on the blog. Some people have said they go down to 75. I haven't had as good a luck with that. On my metadata, it says, I mean, I can include it all. I have copyright only, copyright and contact info only. All except camera and camera raw info are the three other besides all metadata.
Okay,
So,
and for your camera there, do you even need that to tell people what kind of camera you're using and things?
no.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Most of the time, only photographers would need something like that. And so there's no need for you to keep that kind of information because it bulks up the file size.
Right. Because right now, I mean, it's just sitting on all my. So, I'm assuming. I did check the box that says remove location information, so that there's no. But which should I put? Like the copyright only? Is that what I should be doing?
Yeah, and even most of them don't even have that. That's just, for that particular
Okay.
software
I
that
don't
you're using,
have. I
if you
mean,
even have that
yeah.
option, because a
Right.
lot of
Okay.
photographers use that. So most folks
Right.
don't even have that much in anything that they're doing.
Yeah.
So I don't see it. You can keep
Okay.
it if you want to, but why?
Yeah, well, I don't see I don't have an option here in this export window to take all the metadata out.
Okay, then that's, leave the least of it that you
Okay.
possibly can.
Right. And yeah, honestly, I wouldn't mind the copyright in mine because I do sell some of my photos.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're a photographer, a professional photographer at that point. And so
Right.
you're going to need something like that. But for most of us who are not selling our images, then a lot of that wouldn't be necessary in there. And I'm sure there are going to be some people who have a different point of view. But we're talking about putting images on the web, and we want them as small as they can be to speed up the site, because when you've got a post that has five or six images, it really slows things down. Now, you want to do all of this, and what you and I had discussed was doing all of it prior to upload. You don't want to smush them or try to optimize them afterward, because those things maybe do 10 more percent, and that's the best that they can hope to do. You want to
Right.
do everything that you can prior to that upload, and then when WordPress gets a hold of it, it puts another 10% on it by default. And
Okay.
I know one of my clients that's using that same software, we got hers so crisp and clean and so small that we had to take out the WordPress option because it was making them fuzzy.
Okay.
Optimizing them any
Right.
further made them fuzzy. And then if you need to go back in time, to get all of your images from way back, there are bulk image optimization things that can be done for you. And so that really helps bring down your size too. Now let's talk
Yeah.
about whole size of site because you've got a ton of images. So your backups get really big too,
Right.
even with them optimized as far as they can go, right?
Right. And I still feel a little bit unsure. I've got the backup plugin, or I'm not sure it's a plugin, whatever it is you installed. I knew I didn't have a good backup. I knew that what I did was not adequate. But it's something I didn't really understand. I didn't know how to fix it. And so you just kind of keep letting it go. And I always got along fine. I never had any big issues. And even though you read that it's not if it happens to you, it's when, you just kind of keep going along and getting by.
Yeah, if you want to trust your sight to luck,
Exactly. And I re didn't really, but it's just one of those things. It just kept going longer and longer because I really didn't even know where to start. To make sure, because it's not something that, when it's not something you deal with daily, I mean, even now, I'm like, I'm not, if my site crashes, I'm not sure. I mean, at that point, it's when I'm going to have to start figuring out exactly how I'm going to fix it all because it's not something I've ever had to do before.
Right, and that's why you should find out. It's not just about backing up. It's about storing those files off your site, so that you have access to them. But it's also the restore. So whatever backup you're using, make sure you know how to restore from it. And find out right away, print that stuff up, put it on your desktop, someplace that's easy for you to find it. Because if you ever need that information, you're going to be in a panic. And you want to know that you've at least made some notes on it for yourself. In
Right.
case the worst happens, it's like having an emergency plan. And
Right.
so a site recovery plan is a really good idea. So make sure that you have that, and that's not one of those things that you can keep putting off. Backups are your only security blanket. That's it.
Right.
That's the bottom line of everything. So no matter what happens, you need that to work. And you can't just call hire somebody at that point and say, "Hey, I need to fix this," and you can't even give them the information to fix it for you
Right.
at that point either. So, that's a big thing. But with backups, sometimes with these sites with tons of images, the backup plugins, no matter which one you use, just won't work. They start flaking out when it gets too big, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Or on a slow host. And so you may have to go over to another service that you're paying for at this point because
Right.
of it, just for sheer size alone. All right, let's talk about running ads on a site because that's one of your streams of income. You're diversified, but ads play a part in it too, right?
Yes, right. I have mixed feelings about ads. For someone out there that is in with a large ad network that is bringing them in even just a part-time income every month, then obviously they're going to be able to just not worry about the fact that they're slowing their site down. If they're still making that kind of income, then obviously they have enough people that are hitting their site and waiting on it to load. Because you have to be able to, I mean, the ad networks have it set up so that you have the ad has to have loaded enough for it to be viewable for it to actually make you an income.
So that's why a lot of those, the ads load even before the rest of the information on the site that people actually came in to
Sometimes they
see.
do. I've noticed on my site, I have an ad that it's only been there maybe a month, and it loads beneath the first picture, I believe. And it's a video. It only plays sound if you hover over it, and it has an X on it that you can immediately click it off. But I've noticed on my site, since that's there, if you look up on the tab at the top, it's continually trying to load, and it's that ad because that ad is a video. And if I click that video and exit off, then that quits trying to load. I mean, that little wheel thing at the top quits and says the site is loaded. That's the only thing that's still loading. All of my stuff loads before that. which I'm thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't decided for sure yet if that ad is worth it. I'm not 100% happy with some of the ads I've seen. They're not stupid. And I haven't figured out, because it's not been long enough yet, how much extra income it's actually bringing in. If it's not much, I'm going to nix it. We'll just kind of have to see. Sometimes if I don't like the ads, I mean, if they bother me enough, I don't care how much they're making me. I'm not going to have them on my site.
Right, I think that's huge. I mean, let's just stop right there. That is absolutely huge. And I know a lot of folks in this industry, at least the site audits I've done, they're never looking at their site like a visitor does.
Right.
And I've seen ads where they've got three videos that are set to autoplay, and they all start within a split second of each other. It's like listening to the national anthem in a football stadium. And
right.
Even if somebody turns them off, they start up again 90 seconds later.
Yes.
If I have to jump out of your content, which is what I came there for, to go turn all this stuff off, and then I have to jump out of the content again to try, or if I have to wait 30 seconds for the thing to load in the first place, I'm just gone, and I'm not coming back.
I agree. I feel the same way. And so that's why I'm not sure where my blog will go with that. It has actually been making more money the past few months. My ad revenue was better than it has been, and every little bit helps. I did make enough off of my blog last year to pay for my blog audit, and the when I had the designer work on my theme, you know, the blog had made enough money last year that so far it's been covered, everything I've done on the blog. So, you know, there is that. I just think it also depends on if, like for me, the blog is not my main income here. My business has taken off. It's part of my business, but it's not the main income maker. For some people, it is. So, you know, there is that. You just have to weigh it for yourself and what is, you know, what's going to work for you.
Right, because you have your own products. You're diversified, so it's not just ads.
Right.
Right, and it makes a lot of difference. Plus, you have contacts that are not being drawn in from your content marketing efforts, like your blog.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference. So that's why I invited you on to tell your story, because everybody is a little bit different in hearing your side of it from your experience, and what's in the mix for you has a lot to do with the decisions that you make.
Right.
Well, let's talk about your theme, too, because that had to be revamped, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It was not HTML5 compliant. And you told me it needed to be, and so I found that the theme I had purchased 4 years ago, whenever it was, that it is now HTML5 compliant, and I contacted the designer that made the theme, and she was very happy to send me the new HTML5 compliant file, but I knew that I had made enough edits myself to the theme, changed it up enough that I did not feel comfortable installing that new theme myself, because I knew that I was never going to be able to install it and then get everything that I had customized transferred. So I let someone else do that, and I am very thankful I did.
No, yeah, and it turned out, so you were able to make a few tweaks as well to get some
right.
new things that you wanted too. So
right.
I think all sites need a refresher. I'm going through that myself right now. And at the very least, every 2 years, because trends change too.
Exactly. Yes, right. That's. I found there were things that I was still using. For example, my blog role that was in my sidebar, it was something that everybody did back when I was just a hobby blogger. And it was kind of nice, and honestly, I do get traffic from people that have me in their blog role like that, but when I found out what a resource hog it was, I was just very happy to see that one go.
Yeah, the particular plugin that you were using for that was a hog, but it also sends people off your site. Now, there are
right.
some niches that still do that, you know, where the blog, mm-hmm. it's not very prevalent, but there are a few, like book clubs. You know, book reviewers, and
right.
they'll link over to other book reviewers in the same genre and that sort of thing. So it is still used for some folks, but just refreshing, you know, coming up with what the trends are now. Not many folks do that anymore. and take them to
Right.
look at your site that way. Let's go back and tell everybody what HTML5 compliance is, that impacted your SEO, correct?
Yeah, you'd probably be better at telling them what that actually is than I am because
Yeah.
I.
It was your schema markup, and all of the sites. There are hundreds of thousands of sites a year that are coming out that are HTML5 compliant. WordPress has supported it for 2 years, but it has to go all the way through the theme, and it has a direct impact on your SEO. So all things being equal, if two sites have the same kind of content and are putting out the same sorts of things, the one that's HTML5 compliant is going to do better for SEO. And I hear a lot of folks say, well, I don't depend on search, for my site. I do it on social media or referrals or what. Well, it's just free traffic that you're missing too. So that was part of it too. You not only did you get a nicer look and a refresh on that, but now you're getting all these little SEO perks as well.
And I have seen a difference, even though I haven't done the rest of the SEO that I need to do because I've just been too busy, and we talked about my little curtain project that's kind of taken over my life.
Well, that life happens during all this. We did it in phases, and that's why, right?
Exactly. But yes, I have noticed a difference. It seems like, well, for one thing, my ad revenue is up. So somewhere along the line, I'm getting more traffic. And because I'm so busy, I have been blogging less in the past month or two than I normally try to, and I am really not seeing much of a drop in traffic and page views. Yeah, a little bit in the past, maybe in the past 2 weeks, because I've dropped it, oh, sometimes only once a week in posting. But honestly, I can just tell I'm getting more and more people finding me through somewhere out there because I still get a lot of traffic to my old posts, that especially the ones that are popular posts.
And that's huge to say that you haven't even finished maximizing all of your SEO yet, and it's already working. And your blogging list, which means you're working less to get that traffic too. It's free traffic. So, so that's a bit. And this is kind of, we're recording this during the summer. Isn't this kind of a slow time of year for this, or is this when things start hopping, or what?
Well, it's the last couple of years has been slow for me because I've just been so busy that I just kind of quit blogging. I mean, I try to keep it up at least once or twice a week. And it just kind of depends. Sometimes you get a lot of traffic. Sometimes you don't. Usually right around a holiday, it falls way off because everybody's busy. Weekends, typically, Friday evening, Saturday's not big. Sunday can be big for some people. Some people say it's their slowest day of the week. Monday's usually a pretty good day for me to put a post up. I don't know. It just seems like maybe my readers are ready to kick back and just take it easy on Monday or something. And so if I get a post up on Monday, I can tell that, they're out there. It just seems like Monday's a bigger day when I have a post up that day than, say, Thursday.
Yeah, and that's going to be different for everybody, and you can look at
Yeah,
your analytics,
exactly.
to tell, but you need that feedback. I mean, you're looking at your analytics to be able to know when to post and what's going on with your site.
And it can take a little bit of, figuring out. You may think one day is better than the other, but if you switch it up, you might, some people say Tuesday and Thursday and Sunday are their best days, and that's when they post. But for me, it seems like Monday's better than Tuesday. So.
And that's looking at your analytics to know that. And trying things, Jill. I mean, that was a big thing in all of this. You had an openness and willingness to try new things or learn new things and make things better for yourself.
And for me, honestly, even if I decide at some point that I'm going to drop the ads completely, I have been building my brand, and the more people that are reading my blog, whether I'm making revenue from them hitting the blog, the more people that see that, the more people there are to see when I put up a post that, hey, I just added some new products to my online shop. Because the more eyes that are seeing that, the more sales you're going to get.
Right. And for you having your own products, that makes a difference. and fast load
Exactly.
times are going to matter more so, too,
Yes.
for that. That's way cool. Well, Jill, thank you so much for sharing this journey with us. I know a lot of folks are going to see themselves in you or be able to relate directly to what you're saying and, have some encouragement about, yes, you can do this and you can live through it, getting all this
Right.
changed.
Yeah. I'm actually, tomorrow is my 3rd year anniversary for Sew a Fine Seam as a business. And I have a blog post that I'm getting tweaking and getting some photos ready for that I'm going to start sharing my business journey on the blog. And so I've got a post started for that, and I'm just going to post once or twice a month as I can, just tips and my experiences, and hopefully, if nothing else, it'll entertain everybody.
Well, I think that's going to help a lot of folks starting out too to hear, hey, don't make these mistakes that I did. Learn from me and accelerate that learning curve.
Right.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we'll look forward to seeing that for sure. And let's tell people your site again. It's sewafineseam.com.
Yes.
And they can find you on social media there too to hook up with you as well.
Yes, the social media buttons are at the very top in the header. I am most active on Pinterest and Facebook. I do get on Twitter some. I'm not real big on Google Plus. I don't understand it quite as well, and just it's not my favorite. But yeah, and Instagram. I love Instagram. So follow me on Instagram because I like to post things there, and sometimes things show up there that never quite make it to the blog because I'm too busy.
Right, and that's a good problem to have. All right, thanks so much, Jill, for being here with us. I know it's helped a lot of folks. And y'all be sure to subscribe on iTunes for more site success interviews and tips Tuesday, which is my weekly roundup. Drop on by on my Google Plus page and say hey over there. That's where I hang out the most. And be sure to visit blogaid.net for more tips and resources, and I'll see you online.